Cool. So like I said, we are week six into our series, People of the Spirit. We're walking through this series because it's important to understand who the Holy Spirit is, what he does in our life, what he wants to do in our life and through our life. Just a couple of quick things that we've seen in this series. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit is God, right? As Christians, we believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods, one God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. We can fellowship with Him. We talked about how He produces fruit in our lives, good fruit, as we walk with Him, as we live by the Spirit. We've looked at the baptism in the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes upon us to empower us, to be witnesses, to share the gospel, to tell people about Jesus. And we also saw how the Holy Spirit seals us. When we become believers, the Holy Spirit seals us. He kind of puts a stamp on our hearts, right? Says, you're mine. You belong to God. The Holy Spirit seals us for God. And then last week, we took some time and we started talking about spiritual gifts. We kind of gave an introduction, spiritual gifts 101, if you will, any college folks. We gave an introduction and we saw how the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Okay, He gives gifts. And we also saw how the church is like the body of Christ, and it's not like the body of Christ, it is the body of Christ. Paul uses the analogy with the body to explain the different parts, the different members. But we also talked about how the body of Christ needs the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Right? Your body needs all the parts that God gave to it. Right? Every part is vital, every part is important and necessary for our lives. So that was just kind of a recap of what we looked at last week, and tonight we're gonna talk a little bit more in depth about some of the gifts that we read about last week. So that's where we're at tonight. So 1 Corinthians 12, we're gonna read the first 11 verses. First 11 verses, and it says this. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So basically, starting off, Paul's like, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. Okay, this is, you can understand this. Verse 2. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit." Verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." And verse 11, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills." So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. God, we do recognize that Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, we thank You that Your scripture is inspired. We thank You for it, God. And we just pray now, as we look at Your scripture, as we look at the Bible, God, would You help us to understand? God, we just pray that You would come, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and revelation according to the knowledge of Your will. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here, tonight we're going to focus on verses 7 through 11, okay? Focus on verses 7 through 11, and if you look there, verse 7 and 11 are kind of bookends, okay? They're kind of boundaries, if you will. They're bookends to this list of gifts that we see in verses 8, 9, and 10, okay? So we start off with verse 7 that tells us, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And then verse 11 tells us these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually. Okay? So before we talk about the verses in 8, 9, and 10, let's talk about those bookends real quick. I know we talked a little bit about them last week, but just so that we're all on the same page, I think it's is good to review. So verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, so what that tells us there is that each believer in Jesus is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Okay? So as a believer in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, we each are given something by the Spirit. We are all given supernatural abilities to bring to the table. Okay? We are given gifts to have something to give. Okay? And I gave this analogy last week about how as a parent around Christmas time, around birthdays, around gift-giving holidays, you know, we often... I know for me as a parent, I'll sometimes take my son or my daughter out to the store, and I'll say, okay, pick something out, or they'll get on Amazon, and I'll let them sit, you know, with Amazon, they'll pick something out. For Hannah, right, I'll pay for it, I'll provide it, but I allow them to have the opportunity to give a gift. Okay, so that it's the same with these spiritual gifts. They're given to us by the Holy Spirit for us to then give to the body of Christ. Okay? So it's basically legal regifting, if you will, right? Anybody get regifted gifts at Christmas? You're like, yeah, this was regifted, I know. Right? Back when we had CDs, you know, remember those things? Back when we had CDs, you could open it up, you could see a couple of scratches, like, yeah, this was regifted, you know, that kind of thing. But I used to like to take the CD case apart without taking the label off. Do anybody remember that trick with popping one of the edges off? Anyways, it was a great way to re-gift stuff because it looked unopened, which is not very honest. But anyways, with that, you know, it's the same principle. The Holy Spirit gives us something so that we get to bring something to the table. Right, so we get to be a part of the body with tools and abilities that He gives. Okay, so that's what we see here. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. But why? Why are we given those things? It says, verse 7 continues to say, for the common good. Okay, for the common good. So, you know, it's not for my good, right? That I'm given a gift. It's for the common good. Right? The common good. Last week I shared an illustration about my job and how for a period of time I tried a job where I worked from home. And I quickly realized that they didn't give me equipment to do my job. They, you know, if I was, you know, as I was on my own working from home, if I came up against a problem, I didn't have someone I could turn to for help, right? And so with that, in the body, right, we're equipped, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're given these gifts, and so that, and other people have gifts that we need, okay? And so with that same thought, that same analogy, right, it actually, you know, if with the gifts I've been given, with the abilities that I've been given at work, if I don't use them, it will affect the company I worked for, right? If I don't do my job, if I don't fulfill the abilities that I've been given, if I don't use the abilities I've been given, it will affect my job, right? It'll affect my company because they'll start losing money, right? Now, I'm not talking about getting into works, okay? We have to be careful with that, but I'm just talking about using the abilities and gifts that God has blessed us with. And it's the same with the church. You know, the church needs these gifts, okay? The church needs these gifts. The church needs each of us to be obedient in stepping out with these gifts we've been given, right? It's for the common good. That's what Paul tells us, okay? So with that, we're given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, okay? And then the other bookend we're given is all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Okay, so we have the bookend of by the Spirit for the common good, and then the other bookend is by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and He's the one that chooses who gets what gift. Okay, so we must remember with the gifts of the Spirit that it is the Holy Spirit who empowers us. Right? It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us, who gives these gifts. This is why it's important to understand that these gifts are not our own natural abilities. Okay, these are not our own natural abilities. If they were, then Paul wouldn't say all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. He would say, you know, this is just a natural ability that you have that you were given when you were born. Okay? That it's important to understand that these are given by God supernaturally. Okay? There is a distinct difference. Okay? One reason to remember this important point is to keep in perspective that these gifts are not our own. Right? These gifts are not our own. Sometimes I think we act or we think that these gifts are our own, and it's kind of like how our kids, you know, as they're like 2 and 3, they're like, no, that's my toy, right? That's mine, right? Penny hasn't started saying mine yet, but she will get to that point, right? That's my toy, right? And sometimes I think we get the attitude, that's my gift, right? That's my gift, right? That's no, okay? It's not my gift. It's for the common good. It's from the Spirit for the common good. And it's from the Holy Spirit, okay? They were given to us by the Spirit to be given to the church. And the difficulty comes in, you know, with disunity and jealousy when we start acting like the gifts we've been given are ours or they belong to us, okay? So we have to guard our hearts against thinking, oh, they belong to me, that's my gift. You know, nobody else can have that gift, right? It's the end people that are waiting to receive those gifts that they actually belong to, okay? It's also important to note that with these bookends, these boundaries, with these gifts, they are given by the Spirit, okay? Both of the bookends involve the Spirit, okay? They will never cause us to do anything or say anything contrary to Scripture. Okay, this is a huge one, okay? And this is why I believe sometimes people are turned off to the more supernatural gifts, maybe because of abuse or misuse. But since we have this bookend of by the Spirit on both sides, okay, and since the Holy Spirit inspired our Bible, okay, these gifts are never going to cause us to do anything or say anything that would be contrary to the Bible. Okay, and that's really, really important. Okay? So we have those bookends. We have those boundaries. And then just to finish it off, he says, to apportion to each one he individually as he wills. So what that means is we don't get to decide which gifts we have. Okay? We don't get to decide. Now, we can ask for the gifts. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he tells us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Okay? We can earnestly desire. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Okay, so we can desire. Man, I would really like to have the gift of healing so that I can pray for someone when they're sick and see them healed. You know, man, I would really like to have the gift of faith, you know, the supernatural gift of faith to step out and do something bold for God. Okay? We can earnestly desire those gifts, but it's up to the Holy Spirit to actually distribute them. Okay? So we've seen then that each of us as a believer in Jesus are given a supernatural ability by the Spirit for the common good. Okay? By the Spirit for the common good, and by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and He's the one who gets to decide who gets to use these gifts. Okay, those are the bookends. Now let's take a moment and we're going to look through this list of verses 8, 9, and 10. Okay, and this is where Hannah may pipe in and add some thoughts. Now, with this list, it is important to understand and see that we're not necessarily given a whole lot of definition with these gifts. Okay, we have several examples throughout the New Testament of some of these gifts being used, but we're not given a whole lot of definitive definitions. Is that even a right grammar? Definitive definitions. You know, Paul just kind of throws them out there, right?
And we're all supposed to know.
Yeah, like we're all supposed to know. But so I say all that to help us understand. We are going to bring some understanding, but if you've heard a definition that's slightly different, okay, we're not sitting here saying the Scripture says this gift is X, Y, Z. Okay, that's not what we're saying here. Okay, but we're just trying to bring a little bit of definition and a clarity and understanding. So that we do understand. Really, defining and naming them isn't the priority. Rather, using them, right, is what God wants us to do with these gifts. Okay? And sometimes we see some of these gifts are kind of like intertwined like a pretzel. Some of them kind of kind of just, you know, they, one of them uses the other one to actually see things happen, see things fulfilled in our lives and in the church. So we'll see that as we're talking through them here. So first off, verse 8, it says, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. Okay? Anybody can use some wisdom? I know I can. Making some pretty big life decisions right now that I definitely could use some wisdom. But with this gift, it's often referred to as word of wisdom. Some of the translations use a word of wisdom. This gift would just be what it's called, wisdom. Okay, wisdom. In a way, it's being able to see an overall situation with complete clarity and understanding and then give someone supernatural wisdom to help them navigate. You know, have you ever met someone that man, they could just see like the whole situation and they speak wisdom into your life? Okay. Well, that's what we see this gift as here is you know, supernaturally, however that looks, that they just they're able to see the entire situation, and they're like, let me give you some wisdom. Okay, let me speak into this situation for you. Okay, so that's kind of in a easy blanket definition. That's what word of wisdom would be. It's kind of like having those aha moments, right? Those aha, you know? And I don't know if you want to elaborate a little bit on wisdom.
Well, this is something that I think the Lord, like Holy Spirit flows through me in sometimes. And what I would describe it like is, you know, sometimes somebody's sharing their story or what they're going through. And, you know, we're talking and, man, yeah, I don't know what you should do. That's really rough. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait. And it feels like there's like a light shines on something and you can be like, have you thought of trying this? And they're like, man, I didn't think of that. That might work. And it's just, you know, and it's I'm not that smart. Like, sometimes I'm like, ooh, where'd that come from? You know, Holy Spirit, that's where it came from. So if I ever say something genius, that's where it's from, I can guarantee. But, you know, it's just like this light shines on truth. And truth is comes to the surface. And like Chris said, I think a lot of times it is seeing, you know, we have someone that speaks into our life a lot. Well, actually, Ed and Sharon. You guys met Ed and Sharon if you came to our relationship conference. They spoke here, and a lot of times we send Sharon and Ed these massive Facebook messages, and we're like laying out the whole story of whatever we're deliberating over, you know, especially stuff for the church, and you know, and we give them as much of the facts as we can because they have that ability to say, okay, here's where Jesus is, you know, and they don't tell us what to do, they just give us insight, and that to us is like a word of wisdom, where they can kind of cut through all, well, this person said that, and so-and-so thinks this, and, you know, and they cut through all of that, and they're just like, here's where Jesus is at, this is Jesus' nature, go in faith, like, and, you know, and they always bring encouragement with that and stuff, so that's how I would see the word of wisdom in my own life, how I've seen it being used by Holy Spirit.
And one example from Scripture that we see the word of wisdom being used, kind of in conjunction with maybe prophecy, is in Acts 11, where Agabus predicted the famine that would happen. And so wisdom with that was the church took up an offering and they sent it to where the famine was going to occur. And so we see provision being set aside ahead of time, which would be wisdom. Okay, and so we kind of see that gift in operation in Acts 11. And obviously, as I mentioned earlier, this, the word of wisdom, utterances of wisdom should never replace the wisdom of Scripture. Okay, if Scripture declares one thing and someone's like, oh, I've got this word of wisdom for you, and it's like, whoa, that does not line up with Scripture, right? You want to stay away from that.
Then it's okay? A word of stupid.
It's a word of stupid. Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, so word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Okay, word of knowledge. Basically, it's knowing something about someone or something that you could not have known on your own. Okay, this often brings encouragement to the person receiving because they realize that God has them on his radar. Okay, it's one of those things where like, whoa, how did you know that, right? Just an example of this, I don't know, 2 weeks ago I prayed with Cedar, and he had asked for prayer, and I was praying for him, and I prayed out a couple of things, and then he told me afterwards, he's like, man, I was just praying for that specific thing during the service. And so that's kind of an example of a word of knowledge, kind of in prayer. And so it basically brings encouragement, right, to the recipient. An example of, we see this in Scripture. Now, this way isn't so encouraging. Is Ananias and Sapphira, right? With when they brought the offering to Peter, right? That would probably, could possibly be a word of knowledge, maybe a word of prophecy, but probably more so knowledge. Like, he knew that they had lied to God, right? They had lied to the Holy Spirit. So another example is in Acts 9, when Ananias supernaturally knew that Saul had been converted on the road to Damascus. Kind of this knowledge that he could not have had on his own. So that's kind of an example of the word of knowledge. Now, it's important to understand with this gift, this is not about being psychic. Okay, can we just go ahead and say that? This is not about being psychic. Psychics, first off, are not of God. And two, their purpose is always selfish and rooted in self. Words of knowledge, while may involve encouragement to someone individually, there's a greater purpose of pointing them to Jesus, right? Like, when we have words of knowledge, it's to encourage and edify and to point us to Jesus, okay? It's not selfish, it's not self-contained, it's always pointing us back to God. So, did you want to add to that?
I think with that too, you know, if you feel like Holy Spirit is giving you a word of knowledge for someone, you know, consider if the Lord would really tell you that. Now, sometimes he tells us really interesting stuff about someone. But typically, I don't feel like the Lord is going to tell me, hey, that person over there who you have no relationship with and no ability to speak into their life, they're in sin. And this is their sin. Because what does that, I cannot minister to them, I cannot help them, I just don't feel like the Lord typically does that. And so be very careful that you don't, and I think Crystal probably talked about this more with some of the others, but be very careful that you don't take something where you're actually judging someone in your heart and say, oh, that's a word of discernment, a word of knowledge. You know, the Lord's revealing this to me. Because, like Chris said, it is to edify the body. And so even if there's something that could have a negative connotation, like, you know, you've just seemed, you know, or like the Lord just kind of put you on my heart and I feel like you've been discouraged. That could seem like a negative. But the Lord is doing that so that you can share life with that person. You can encourage them. You can pray with them. So there's always, I feel like when the Lord gives us a word, because this is for the edification of the body, there's always an ability to bring life into the situation. And also, when you do feel like you have a word of knowledge for someone and you're going to share that, be very careful of their hearts and you know, go to them with a heart of love, because you can't just walk up to somebody and be like, you, this is what's going on in your life. The Lord told me. You know, give them some room to hear from the Lord himself. Say, have you felt like this? Or has this been going on? Or say, you know, I feel like maybe the Lord is saying this, but, you know, go take that to him in prayer if that doesn't quite resonate in your heart. Be respectful of your brothers and sisters, you know, because we really want each other to be able to hear from the Lord too. And sometimes we're coming along alongside of each other and helping each other hear from the Lord. And, you know, sometimes I'm in a place where I can't hear the Lord real well, and I'm grateful for somebody to come alongside and say, I think this is what the Lord's saying, but still giving me that freedom then to take that to him and say, okay, Lord, what, now speak to my heart about this. You know, reveal my heart to me too.
So we have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There's also one listed here. It's on down, kind of out of order. It's discernment of spirits. This gift is given to help us realize what is happening, like with a situation, if it's by the Holy Spirit or if it's by maybe a demonic spirit. Okay, so the discernment between spirits. Like, man, what that person is saying does not line up with Scripture. Or maybe you hear someone saying thing and you get this gut feeling, man, that just does not sound right. And then maybe you later look up in Scripture and you're like, yep, that was totally wrong. Okay, that could be discernment working in your life, working in your heart. The gift could manifest in a number of different ways. It could be realizing that something is wrong about a situation. It's giving you a heads up to be careful. And like I mentioned, this could also be hearing a teaching and knowing in your heart that it's wrong. A few years ago, Hannah and I were at visiting a church service in Ohio, and a guy got up and he started talking about this thing, and it wasn't even really a biblical thing. It was just way out there, just really way out there. And immediately we looked at each other and like our guts were like, whoa, this is not good. It's not good. So we, I don't remember if we left or we kind of just sat there and just kind of, you know, got through it. But that was, we both felt that that was discernment, because it wasn't necessarily something that was spelled out in Scripture that was blatantly
like,
wrong.
It was like extra
but
stuff.
It was kind of like under, yeah, it was just weird.
It was like self-helpy stuff that just didn't feel like it was coming from Holy Spirit helping yourself.
Right, right. So, you know, the gift of discernment is basically helping us decide, like, what's going on with the situation. Is this from the Holy Spirit or is this from a demonic spirit? And that can be a good thing. You know, I think for all of us as believers with the Spirit dwelling within us, we all to a level get gut checks here and there. But I also think that there are times where it's so intense that it would be obvious what's happening. Kind of an example from Scripture in Acts 16. We see Paul with the little girl that was possessed by a demon. We saw him discerning that it was an evil spirit, that she wasn't just being an annoying child, that it was a demonic spirit. And he cast the demon out of her, and she was set free. And as Hannah mentioned with the word of knowledge, this is not an excuse to judge someone. I've heard people use the gift of discernment to say, you know, this XYZ is going on, and they use it more so to judge and bring condemnation upon someone. So we do have to be careful. And there is a place, there is a righteous place for judgment within the body that is scriptural, but we do have to be careful that we're not using this gift of discernment to chop our brother's head off. Okay, we don't want to do that.
I think that, you know, because sometimes I think we, you know, the Bible does talk about wolves in sheep's clothing coming into the body. You know, the enemy will try to bring people into our local fellowships, into the church as a whole, that are trying to bring confusion and they're trying to cause problems, because whether they intentionally know that or whether the enemy is just using them, and you know, so we realize that does happen, and that is something we want to discern. But I think if we run into a situation like somebody comes into one of our local churches, and you know, we just have a feeling that something's off and something's not right. Typically, you know. I mean, probably the only instance I can think where you might want to do something about it immediately is if you're concerned for the safety of our children. You know, we would always say bring that to us right away, because then we'll watch that. But if, you know, if it's not where you're concerned that someone's, you know, going to actually cause physical harm to someone, wait it out and pray about it. That, you know, because Holy Spirit will reveal to your heart whether somebody's just rubbing you wrong because they wear weird shoes, or whether they're rubbing you wrong because it's something demonic going on. You know, because sometimes we are affected by really strange stuff. You know, we're like, this don't like their hair. But we don't realize that. You know, we don't know our own hearts, and only the Lord does. And so, you know, I think it's always okay with discerning something about another person that may be a brother or sister, to pray about it and just see if that continues. And then, you know, bring it to the leadership and just say, you know, I'm concerned. And, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something a little more tangible than I just feel weird about them.
Yeah.
You know, he will, because he's not giving you discernment. He's giving you discernment for the common good, again. So he's not going to give you something that's just vague and unhelpful. You know, sometimes we have to press in a little bit and figure out what's going on and why we're feeling that. You know, and maybe then as we press in, he's going to be like, you know, yes, this person is off, and this is how I want you to minister to them. And you're like, oh. You know, suddenly it's, you know, it's not just, I don't feel good about them, I need to tell Chris and Hannah. It's, oh, the Lord wants me to minister to them. You know, so really pray about it and see what is the goal? What does the Lord want to do? Why is he telling you this?
Yeah. Next we have faith, and we're kind of going through these really, really briefly, just because we want to touch on them really briefly tonight. But faith, the gift of faith here, this isn't just talking about salvation faith, okay? This is actually a more supernatural, our faith is supernatural to begin with, but this is a more real, maybe
surgeons?
Surgeons?
Faith surges up.
Yeah, faith surges up. It does seem to be a faith beyond the normal level of faith. We would say this is given by God to step out and do something that in normal thinking would not be possible. Kind of a real life example of that would be this building you're sitting in. When we, back in November 2011, when we were getting this building as a church, we were eight people. We had about $800 a month that came in for the offering. And the lease on this building, just lease without utilities and insurance and all that kinds of stuff, was $1,300. So going into this building, it took a huge step of faith, okay? Now, all eight of us were in unison together. We're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to take this step of faith. And we're going to take this step of faith. Now, if it had just been Hannah and I, and all the other six people were like, no, I don't think we can do this. You know, I'm getting a gut check. I don't feel peaceful about this. Then I don't know as we would have been operating in the gift of faith. We may have been operating in something else. Okay. So there is. You do want to walk in wisdom, right? We do want to walk in wisdom. We don't want to walk in stupid. We want to walk in wisdom, but sometimes faith, stepping out in faith, does take doing something that would not normally be possible. Also, for instance, us moving here, it was a complete step of faith to move here in 2010 to start Destiny Church.
We left a
great paycheck. We did not have a job coming down here. All of those things. And had we, in that situation, had we had all of the people speaking into our lives saying, no, this is not wisdom, you're not ready, this is not good, if everybody had been saying that to us, then we would not have been taking a step of faith, okay? It would not have been wise. But since people speaking into our lives predominantly were saying, yes, Chris, yes, Hannah, this is what the Lord
people
is doing.
People that were praying and hearing the Lord, not just, you know, our neighbors, but like, you know, people that actually knew the Lord and... You know, and also Holy Spirit was speaking to our own hearts, and so, you know, you put all those pieces together. Chris and I were actually talking about it, and I said, it's almost like, you know, you're hunting for clues, and you're adding all the clues together of what the Lord, you know, and he's like, he says something, and he has your friends say something, and you add it all together to figure out what he's saying, and how he wants you to step in faith.
Right.
And then you have to take that step sometimes, and, you know, like with this building, when there were eight people, we still had to take that step where we didn't quite know, you know, he confirmed it, that he wanted us to do it. He did some supernatural, you know, had some supernatural finances come in we weren't expecting, which we had asked for that. So he confirmed it in ways so that we knew that's what he was saying, but there still had to be a point where eight people took a lease that they really probably shouldn't have been able to pay for. And now I look back and I was like, what were we thinking? I really do. I'm like, we had, like, you know, we had eight people. That was crazy. But, you know, we walked in faith, and the Lord blessed that because we did what he told us to do.
Yeah. An example from Scripture, if you're curious, an easy example, I would say in Mark 2, where the guys that carried the guy on the mat, that and then they couldn't get to Jesus, they went up on the roof, and the Scripture says they took the roof off, right? They took the roof off and lowered him down. I would say they probably were given the gift of faith, you know, to say, man, we've got to get this guy to Jesus. However it looks, whatever it takes, we've got to get this guy to Jesus. And again, this is not an excuse to live without wisdom. There is a thin line there, but that is the gift of faith. Next up is gifts of healing. How this gift looks is when God gives a supernatural ability for someone to be healed. This can be, sometimes it's coupled with the word of knowledge. A few months ago, I mentioned this last week, a few months ago, Tom was like, I think there's someone here that has, I think it was wrist problems or something like that. And, so we asked if anybody had that issue, and we prayed. So it can kind of couple like that sometimes. Or obviously a gift of healing can just be used by itself. Healings are throughout Scripture. Jesus' ministry was earmarked with people being healed. We see things happening such as Peter's shadow healing people, all throughout the New Testament. And the gifts of healing is you know, just praying for someone and seeing God heal that person. As a side note, we definitely would encourage everyone and anyone to not see a doctor. Okay, that can get very very dangerous. Okay, the gift of healing is not an excuse to not see a doctor. If there's something going on in your body, see a doctor, but we'll also pray. Okay, we'll believe God to heal you, but you also need to see a doctor. Okay, that's not biblical. Okay.
In fact, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, was a doctor.
Right.
We believe he traveled with Paul, and some people think Paul may have had a medical condition he helped with Paul with. So Jesus loves doctors, apparently.
Yeah. Working of miracles. Okay, these are things that happen that are not normal, everyday events. Some people, for like an example of this, some people would say like casting out demons is in this category. We definitely believe that God does miracles. Supernatural things happen. And there's, working of miracles is all throughout the New Testament. In fact, you'll often see, in Paul's writings, in the book of Acts, you'll often see when they talk about signs and wonders, when they talk about miracles, you'll see it referred to as, and the word was confirmed with signs and wonders. Okay, so you see that kind of happening, that confirmation of this is the gospel, the kingdom, Jesus is alive. Boom, this miracle happens. This is proof that Jesus is alive. So we see kind of that working of miracles kind of scattered all throughout Scripture. Prophecy. Okay, another one is prophecy. Prophecy can often be a mixture of sorts with words of knowledge, words of discernment. By itself, it's often looked at as more foretelling the future, but I would also say that while it may be God giving a glimpse into something that may occur, it also gives practical implications for now. And what I mean by that, it basically gives understanding of what God's heart is for the now, right? Like how I mentioned Agabus earlier, how Agabus is referred to as a prophet, and he gave the word concerning the famine, and the wisdom with that was they took up an offering to help the believers. But the prophecy part of that was them knowing that, okay, God's steering the ship in a certain direction because this is about to happen. Okay, so there is that dynamic. There is a bit of foreknowing to it, but also it affecting now. Like how does what does this imply for our life now? Another example is Acts 21, where Agabus. Agabus again. That's an interesting name, Agabus. We see him, Paul. He encounters Paul in Acts 21, and what does he do? He gets his belt, and he ties it around Paul, and he says, "This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be bound. If you keep going the direction you're going, you're going to be bound." And just kind of was the foreknowing, kind of just giving direction for what was about to happen. We kind of saw some prophetic words happen just with us as a church. One person, when they were praying over us, they said that I feel like it's going to be a melting pot, many different backgrounds. We also see many different age ranges. We see many different races. It's just this awesome, beautiful thing that the Lord has put together with us as a church. So we definitely believe. Prophecy, the Lord, someone can give a word of prophecy, but they should definitely be weighed carefully with Scripture, right? Within the bookends of Scripture.
Another instance that is kind of fun, again, with Ed and Sharon, who were actually in Pittsburgh, where they were living at the time, and we were visiting with them, and we were at dinner, and the Lord was just, it was early on when we were starting the church, and the Lord was just giving Sharon a lot of encouragement for us, and she was just sharing it. She was like, I just feel like the Lord wants you to know this. I feel like it was just, we hadn't intended that. We'd intended to eat chips and tacos, but that's just what the Lord decided to do. And then she turns to us and she says, is there a coffee shop right near you guys? And four doors down from our house, there had been an empty store where Java is now. And there had been an empty store, and I had been walking my dog, and I had just said, Lord, I would really like a coffee shop to go in there. And I didn't even really think about it. That's just, Hannah, that would be me. And so, and then a few months later, a coffee shop started to go in. So this was already kind of oh, Jesus put a coffee shop in next door for me. That's kind of cool. And so when she said that, I was like, actually, they are building a coffee shop. And she said, I feel like you're going to make important connections there. And so we kind of kept that in the back of our minds, so whenever we would go into the coffee shop, we would be mindful, and we would, if there was an opportunity to engage in conversation with anyone, we would kind of do it. Well, months later, I met this girl at the coffee shop who was a believer, and she said, we got to talking about our church and different things, and she wasn't looking for a church at all, but she said, you know what, I have some friends that are looking for a church, and I think they need a church just like yours. Like, I think they're supposed to be with you. She's like, I'm going to have you guys meet them. And so she introduced us, and it was Jeremy and Angie. And obviously, we all know Jeremy and Angie are a vital part of this church. They lead worship here, you know, and so that was a very important connection for us. They're, you know, very dear to our hearts and minister to this church a lot. And so that was an example of a word of prophecy that it, you know, probably some discernment or, I don't know, knowledge. I don't know. It all kind of weaves together, but it, you know, we heeded the word. We tried to stay faithful to that in a very simple way, and the Lord, you know, obviously had fruit that came out of it.
Right. And then that leaves us with various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. The gift of tongues is definitely maybe one of those that is a bit more controversial in our day. Yet Paul clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:39 to not forbid speaking in tongues. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:1 that tongues are both earthly language and angelic languages. So it involves languages that people speak on earth, as well as languages not spoken on earth. Just a brief example of this. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and someone spoke out in tongues in a service, and it was in French, and I knew it was in French because I was taking high school in French. I wasn't that great at it, but I could definitely make out the French words. But I knew the person that was speaking out in tongues, and I knew beyond the shadow of doubt they had no idea, they did not know French. And so that was just kind of an example, like of it actually happening. Obviously, we see this happening on the day of Pentecost, where they heard, you know, people heard the gospel being preached in their language as the people were speaking in tongues. But Paul also tells us that it's angelic languages as well. And Paul is clear in 1 Corinthians 14 that tongues within a church service should be done in an orderly manner, which we see that laid out and explained in 1 Corinthians 14. There is also the dynamic of praying in tongues personally, which Paul goes into in a couple of chapters later. But the gift of tongues in a service, as he mentioned, should be coupled with the interpretation of tongues. And that gift is just basically where someone comes up and says, you know what, this is what I feel like the person just spoke in tongues. With that, I've seen it done very, very healthy way. There's a couple of churches that we're friends with, and in the St. Louis area, and one time, someone was given the microphone. I'll share the story and we'll be done. But someone was given the microphone, and all of a sudden they start speaking in tongues in the microphone. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Well, the person, they then handed the microphone to someone else that then gave the interpretation of what was just spoken out in tongues. It was very orderly, very good. And then later, another service that I was at with these churches, I saw someone get up, and they actually sang in tongues. They sang a song in tongues. It was a spontaneous song in tongues. And then someone got up and actually sang in English what they were saying in tongues, and all of us got to join in that spontaneous song to God. And it was a beautiful thing. And I was edified. I was encouraged. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Right? It was orderly. It was healthy. But it allowed for the gift to be used. So with that, I know we kind of breezed through those. We do want to take a few more moments to answer any questions or some of the questions you may have. So if you do have a question, you can text it in. Okay, or you can write it on the card. One question I will start with from last Sunday that I don't believe we answered Saturday night was, what would you say to someone that doesn't believe the gifts are for today, specifically these supernatural gifts? How would you engage them in conversation? And I think the main thing to do going into this is to, you know, if you have friends, or if maybe you yourself are here and you don't agree that these gifts are for today, you know, in talking with that person, I would say don't argue. Okay, because the point of the gifts are for the common good. Okay, and we can take scripture and we can take doctrine and we can bang it over people's head. We can chop people's heads off. Like, man, I believe this and this and this. You know, and what are we doing? We're slaughtering them, right? When the point of the gifts is for the common good, not for the slaughter of our brother and sister in Christ. Okay, so I wouldn't necessarily argue with them, You know, if they're just wanting to engage in conversation with you, that's cool. You know, I think there is a place for healthy debate. But I would not necessarily argue with anyone. Okay. So with that, I'm gonna.
And I think you had commented the last time we were talking about this that the best way to handle it is to sit down and look through scripture together. Because that is our plumb line, you know, and you still may walk away with differences of opinion, but it needs to be not based in, well, I saw this in one church and it was cool, or I had this experience, or this person did it and it was weird, and so it's bad. Like, go to the Word. Just go to the Word together. If you're in a position where you guys can engage in a healthy, respectful dialogue, go to the Word together, you know, see what the Word says, you know, and you may not convince each other, and that's okay, because you have still engaged in looking at the Word with your brother or sister. And that's still worth something. You know, that's still a good thing.
Yeah. So I'll pass these baskets around. If you didn't text the question in, if you wrote it on the card, you can drop it in the basket. So this is for the question cards. Don't mind passing it around. Someone already texted in, is this an exhaustive list of gifts, or could there be others added that are not mentioned? Absolutely. Next week, we're actually going to look at the more practical gifts, like helps, administration, those kind of things. So there's definitely those gifts. I think most theologians that I've read, most pastors that I've followed, would also just say that they do not believe this is necessarily exhaustive, in that this is the only way that the Holy Spirit moves and gives gifts or gives special abilities. But this is, you know, this is, at least we have these boundaries and these guidelines, but there's definitely other gifts that we see throughout Scripture that are given as well.
I think an example that I don't think it's in any of the lists that Paul makes of lists of gifts is generosity. But I have known people that, like, they had to have Holy Spirit feeling that generosity, because it was like, it was rich, and it was like, it was beautiful, and it just, I mean, you could just tell, like, there was grace all over it. They would just, you just kind of wanted to watch them give to people, because you were like, oh, that's good. Like, that's good. You know, just because they were so full of it, and it just flowed out of them, you know, in a way that there was no selfishness, there was no, it was good. And so, you know, I think that would be an example of something we know, and again, though, this always comes back to, it still has to line up with the Word. And so, you know, we know that generosity is something that the Lord delights in, that the Lord is generous. So I think it's safe to say that's an okay gift to have.
Yeah, well, generosity is in Romans 12.
In one of the lists?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't think it was in any of the lists.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm wrong.
Nope, it's good. Romans 12. But, so I would say that there are other gifts. And like I said, next week we're going to talk about the more practical gifts. So give a little bit of understanding with those. So we will be looking at those next week.